Now I have the pleasure to welcome Youssef, who was also co-organizer of this dev room, and Nick. They will talk about Blocknote, ProsMirror, and YGS version 14, versioning and track changes. Please welcome them with a round of applause.
Nice, thanks. Welcome. So we're Nick and I'm Youssef. Together we work on Blocknote, which is like a Notion-style rich text editor that makes it like tries to hide away all the annoying rich text editor stuff and tries to make it easy to add a modern rich text editor to your app. For that, we built a lot on top of YGS. Well, don't need to introduce that anymore. I do need to introduce Kevin. Like, of course, we all rely on a lot of his work for YGS. And in this presentation, we'll introduce the work that we've been prototyping in November and December together with Kevin. And it's our honor to also share a lot of the work he has been doing. Unfortunately, for him, he's out on the slope skiing while we are having fun at Fosdem. So he's sorry he couldn't make it, but he definitely says hi. This work has been sponsored by Zendis and Dinam. So these are respectively initiatives in Germany and France to advance our digital autonomy. So they're building a product, it's called La Suite Docs. They're building it in-house, which is like a new software for public servants to collaborate together and reduce the dependency on big tech software. Quick overview of what we'll be going through. So I'll explain what we've been working on. There will be a short demo. We'll do an architectural overview. And then Nick will dive deep into, okay, what does that mean in terms of like the new APIs that we're bringing to YGS that unlock all these kind of things and the new things in Blocknote and YProsMirror as well. So what are we talking about? So there's two main subjects that we're trying to add and make possible with the new versions. It's suggestions, track changes. So if you know you're in a doc style document and you enable suggestion mode, from then on everything that you type becomes a suggestion and not an edit to the original document. And attributions. And attributions is like metadata that with which you can get detailed version history. So not only compare two versions, but really also see who did what in which version of the document. Should be a video here, it's not loading. But everybody knows, so I'll just walk through it. So you probably know the Google Doc style track changes suggestion. So once one user proposes a change, it turns up in green. If you remove some text, it turns up in red. And then the author of the document, for example, can accept and reject certain changes. You can also hover changes and see who made that change and who did it when.
And the demo was showing it within Blocknote. Yep. Or intended to.
Not sure why it's not setting up, but I'm glad we got this screen connected at all, so I'm not going to be bothered diving in further. So I want to talk a little bit about the architecture of how we want to make this possible. Like a very naive approach might be, okay, you enter suggestion mode, and from then on, everything that you type, we just store as something. Instead of marking something as bold that you type, we mark it as an insertion that's like pending. Now we don't want to do this, so this is like, okay, we consider that a bad idea to like store it in a document and just have hello as the original thing, then mark something as deleted, and then mark something as inserted. Now why do we not want to follow that architecture? First of all, we want to do this in a secure way. So if you do it like this, the suggesting user, the user who is making changes while in suggesting mode, would need to make these changes in the original document. But maybe you want to add support for suggestion-only users. So those are users who only have permissions to make suggestions, but not the permission to edit the underlying, the original document. So that's an important reason. And the other reason is, in general, we don't think it's the good concept to think that suggestions are part of the original document. And to really decouple this, it also unlocks a lot of innovative use cases, novel experiences in which users can collaborate. Maybe also worthwhile to point to some of the research done by Ink and Switch and Peter's team. I think mostly in the Patchwork projects. the authors are right here also, who show, okay, we can think about collaboration in different ways. But if you want to unlock that, yeah, you do need to separate these concerns and really have different versions of these documents, and then decide how you want to present that to the user. So how do we make this possible? The architecture that we are going for is to model things similarly to Git branches. So suggestions are like Git branches. So you can imagine, okay, instead of everybody working in the same document, the user who starts suggesting kind of like branches a new YJS document and starts making the edits there. Now there's a couple of changes, differences if you compare it to Git. When you're in a suggestion mode, you also want to see what happens to the original document. So it's kind of like the base, the changes from the base are continuously streamed in to the fork that you're working on. So that's the third one. Then there's also like different user modes. So you can have a user that's suggesting changes. Well, that's fairly easy. You just made all the edits that user make. Go to the fork, so to the other new forked YJS document. If you turn suggestions off, it's also easy. You just, all your edits go to the original YJS document. So you're working on the base branch, so to say. It gets a little bit different in the, more difficult in the third scenario. I'll explain that in a bit. Because now what happens, this is what I just explained. So, okay. Changes made, if you're looking at the base document, just go here. Changes from the base are continuously synced to the branch because you want to make sure you want to have that live feeling and see also what you're suggesting, not on a like previous version of the document, but on the actual live latest base document. But you can also have the edit view where you're making suggestions and you see both at the same time. Now, it will depend if you're the original author. The system needs to know where should that change go. Should it go to the base document or to the branch? So it will actually work in a way that, okay, if you edit in hello, it will commit that to the base branch. But if you make a change to Brussels, that word actually doesn't exist in the base branch. So the update will fail there. And when it fails, it will actually make it to the suggestion branch. So that's how we recognize where to make these changes. And YJS handles that internally. Soon. then attribution. So hold off on suggestions and track changes for a moment. So we're also working on attributions. And this is the reason for this is, OK, we want to go back in time in the document and be able to see who did what when. And as you might know, in YJS, every character can be uniquely identified. And attributions basically are character-level metadata. Yeah, you can attach metadata to specific ranges of YJS IDs. For this, Kevin has worked on a more efficient data structure to store this kind of these ranges and to map that with your metadata. So he calls that an ID map. But the metadata itself, it can be application defined, so it's not tied to author information or timestamps. If you like, you can, like, I don't know, as the user is typing, store the current weather information, and I'm sure if you look at the stuff that I write, I might write something better when the weather is good, and maybe I get very depressed. I don't know, whatever is relevant for your application. Yeah, now, okay, let's have a look at, okay, what makes this possible. So to make this possible, we've been able, and Kevin and Nick particularly, they've collaborated a lot on making this possible in YJS and YProsMirror. And Nick will go through the different changes that you can expect in YJS 14.
Yeah. So as Yusuf mentioned, Kevin has done the bulk of this work, obviously, and it's an honor that I'm able to present it. So to put this in perspective, YGS 13 was cut 6 years ago, and Kevin has anxiety every single time he pushes the release button because it affects millions of applications. And there's so much impact to this project. So with YGS 14, there's a number of large updates that have been made. And so this is an overview that I'll go through as we talk about it. So one of the changes that we've made with YGS 14 is as we were working on the code base, we realized that, and I'll say we, but this is all Kevin. It's just easier to say it. So we realized that what it turns out is that all of the underlying operations were operating on the same sort of data structure. And you can actually represent most of the data structures that YGS supports, so anything that's basically in a JSON sort of format. You can map them one-to-one to some sort of an XML. So for example, you have this Y text that is just a non-named XML fragment that has no attributes, and it has children as plain text content. An array is just a number of items within that same sort of fragment. A map is some sort of a key value attribute pair. And an XML element is the full-blown thing. It has a name, it has attributes, and children inside of it. So it was a huge simplification to the code base. It was beautiful to see the GitHub PR to see that thousands of lines were deleted and only a few hundred added. So we were able to completely remove all of the other types. And now there's just one type that is based on this XML structure. And you can define a schema to your YGS document that will actually differentiate between these types so that you still know what's inside of. So there's a strong schema that defines a YGS document now, rather than it just being a grab bag of whatever values happen to be set at the time. So now that we have this one unified Y type, we need to have a way to describe changes to the type. As part of the work for suggestions and attributions, it became clear that we needed a universal way to describe these changes. And Kevin has always been a fan of the Quill Delta format. And this is based on that format. So how we can describe a transformation from hello world to hello with an exclamation point added is you can describe it as though you were a user interacting with it. So what you do is you move the cursor five characters over, you delete the world at the end of it, and then you insert the actual new character. So you're describing a change as all of the operations that you would do on the document. So what this ends up being is that there's a literal array that describes all of the changes. So this is a very similar to OT, for those that are familiar with this. But what ends up happening is that we have a transaction log of all of the changes that have happened to a document. So you can do a lot of things with this transaction log. So not only do you have, you can apply this to a Y type to get the output to actually apply and do that in a way that is obviously CRDT based and using the YGS data structure. But you can also operate exclusively on these operations. So you can merge several operations together to get one change. You can rebase operations. There's a whole bunch of new functionality that we can do. So getting back to suggestions and attributions here, this is a little bit about how the attribution manager works. I didn't want to go into the details of like how this is actually represented like in the data format using ID sets, ID maps. So I wanted to just explain this in a way that it's a little bit more palatable for the average developer, but please ask me more about this later. So what I did here was explain a YJS update as there's the actual content of what has actually changed within the update. So for example, this is an addition of hello. Normally this would be character level, and this describes a range of updates and they're merged together, but this is a simplification. And then there's also a number of ID metadata. So I'm referring to it as a content ID here, but it's, think of it as some sort of a version identifier. This is the version that was applied to the YJS document. It can get complicated to explain CRDT things, so I feel like it was just easier to describe the attribution manager as essentially a map between those versions, which technically describe multiple changes. You describe ranges of changes, mapping those versions to actual arbitrary metadata. So I have that it's attributed to Nick and some sort of timestamp. It can be any sort of JSON representable metadata. So, sorry. Then once we have that in the attribution manager, this attribution manager is meant to be stored in a secure way. So for example, this might be stored on a central server if this is your auth model. It could be some sort of a peer-to-peer system, some sort of trust model, or whatever it is. The point is that it's a separate store of this attribution metadata so that you can be sure and confident in what's inside of. So you can't have impersonation of users or anything like that to say that who made what update at what time. That's essentially what this store is meant to do. So once we have that store of data, then we have a lot of flexibility on how we actually read out that data. We can ask for specific ranges of versions. We can ask for what content is attributed to what. So for example, you could say that like, okay, this range of characters is owned by Nick, yes or no, whatever, and you can pull out that data from the store. So one way of pulling out that data is through this concept of a content renderer. And this gets more to the level of what I actually got to work on. So for example, here we have two documents. Now what we can do is the content renderer's job is to take external sources of data and represent them in a way that it can still you can still edit, modify the source documents. So it's using, for example, you can take the diff between two documents and you can show what was actually changed. So this would be represented as you get the entire document content as a delta, and then you diff the two deltas to see what has actually changed. The content renderer is what is responsible for saying this portion of content was deleted, this portion of content was added between these two versions. Another use case for the content renderer is this attribution view. So what you can do is using the attribution manager that we showed before, you can take a range of content and figure out who was attributed to this content. Then on top of that, you can do additional things, such as diffing and attribution at the same time. So you are not only able to do a difference between the documents, but see what was the attribution for that content. So this is very important. This is the core of what a track changes like feature is. We have separation of the content data sources. We have a separate store, which is the attribution manager, to store this all securely. Yeah. So then we have YProsMirror, which is YProsMirror is, we have ProsMirror is a rich text editor for editing documents on the web. It's an industry standard. and is what BlockNote is based on. YProsmir is a binding between the YJS document that's in data and the Prosmir document that is in memory. So YProsmir's job is to then synchronize the changes between these two documents. So if a change comes in from a remote, then that changes the editor's state, or you make a local change to your document that syncs it back to the YJS document, and it syncs to other clients. So this is where everything pretty much comes together. We have the Delta format for actually being able to describe what those changes are. You have the content renderer for displaying those changes. And we had to completely rewrite the YProsmir binding. And with that, there's a number of improvements that we've made. And one of them is to bring this content renderer functionality into that. And as part of that, you would need to like be able to pause and resume sync, because if you're in a diffing mode, you don't expect to actually properly edit the document if you're looking at like static versions. So there's a number of improvements that we've made.
Nice, thanks. I think that's
Thank you very much, Youssef and Nick. We will take questions in the room. Please raise your hand, all of you now, so I know how many questions. We have one question, two questions, three? No, one.
Maybe not a question, but a clarification. Like, most of those features were already possible, but the way how they were implemented through permanent user data, this is how this feature is called in YJS, is that it's far from ideal, starting from the fact that this is all data part of the all data is part of the document itself. But now with the Kevin's work, it will be much more powerful, and it will allow to have more features on top of that, basically.
I totally defer to Bartosz for anything YJS related.
Is there any question in the room? More questions? Okay, so we can wrap it up. Unless you want to add something?
No, yeah, so only that the YJS 14 preview is available, but there's still a lot of, there's still quite some, it's like, I would say, alpha version, so we expect it to be available later this year. And then, then we'll also release the layers on top of it. So, YProsmir for the binding to raw ProsMirror things, and then in BlockNote, our vision is to really provide a high-level API. So, really to abstract as much of this away for you, and just say, okay, enter suggestion mode, and that will be a little bit later then. But also hope to release that somewhere this year.
Okay, thank you very much again.